Hello, and welcome to this evening's edition of Poetry Readings by Two Sexy Men. Today's poem is Fire and Ice by Robert Frost. Yes, and I am joined here by a special guest for this evening, Blaine Miller. Blaine, could you regale us with your rendition of this poem?
I think I will.
Excellent.
Fire and Ice by Robert Frost. Some say the world will end in fire. Some say in ice. From what I've tasted of desire, I hold with those who favor fire. But if it had to perish twice, I think I know enough of hate to say that for destruction ice is also great and would suffice.
Excellent, excellent. I think you deserve the snap.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right. So, what speaks to you about this poem, Mr. Miller?
One thing that comes to mind quite frequently, actually, reading this, is a nuclear winter.
Interesting.
And I say that because, when was this poem written?
This was written, modernist poetry was around the late 19th, early 20th centuries.
Right.
So around World War I?
Right. So around this time, they would not have known about nuclear devices. Contrary to my belief.
Perhaps.
But still, the threat of war was imminent. So I'm thinking, he would be thinking, maybe, I'm seeing some parallels between this and the world burning.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Perhaps he was foreseeing some sort of catastrophic world event.
Yes, catastrophic.
Yes, but then we have to ask ourselves.
Asking, yes.
So the title is Fire and Ice.
Fire and Ice, yes.
It mentions fire and ice in the poem.
Yes, it does. That is true.
So surely they must have some deeper meaning than just being physical fire and physical ice.
True.
Yes. So I suppose when I see it, it's all about what it's saying in the beginning lines. So it's from what I've tasted of desire, I hold with those who favor fire. And fire is usually associated with passion, with anger and fervor, and desire. So here Frost may be talking about some say the world will end because of humanity's passion or tendency to anger quickly.
Mm.
Which actually does kind of transition back to what you were talking about war and the catastrophic events.
Yes, war and the catastrophic events. What if, in fact, Mr. Robert T. Frost is talking about himself and his love for a woman, maybe.
Ah.
Because love was once compared to a fiery ring by none other than Johnny T. Cash.
I see.
And I quote, "Love, comma, is a fiery ring." End quotation. So what if he has tasted the desire of a woman? So, and his love was burning like a fire. But, she did not like him.
I see.
The feelings were not mutual, and so he never learned to love again.
Interesting.
So then his world was destroyed by ice. His ice was his heart. His heart was iced over because the woman didn't love him.
That is interesting, because it does say in the first line that some say the world will end in fire.
Yes.
And you know, when you put yourself, you know, so wholly into a relationship, sometimes that can become your world.
Mm.
Interesting. I do see the parallel here. I see.
I personally like this poem because it's talking about destruction. And I, for one, like poems about destruction because I feel as if the writers feel more when they write these than someone talking about, say, nature and becoming one with nature, like a more naturalist writer.
I would agree with you because the idea of destruction and of ending is a very powerful feeling. And
when, I agree.
When humans feel that feeling, it can manifest in different ways. It can manifest in a denial of the end. It can manifest in anger or of pleading for it to continue, things like that. It can even manifest as acceptance.
Yes. Well, I would say that, because it's so, like, the end of things, as humans, the end is somewhat of a mystery to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're writing a poem, you've never seen the end. Sure, you may have seen the end of perhaps a relationship, but you've never seen the end of times. Because your times keep on ticking.
Ah, yes.
So the end is a mystery to us all. Of course, in the end, we all die. But how will we die? And by what method or tool will we die?
And it's interesting because Frost, it seems like he's questioning this, but it also seems like he doesn't really care because he's almost aloof. He's, you know, oh, some say we'll end fire, ice. I mean, you know, I get those who favor fire, but I mean, ice is also great. I mean, it sounds like he doesn't really care about the end or something. He sounds very aloof. Like it doesn't even matter to him, really.
Well, going back to if this was talking about his relationship with a woman, or lack thereof, he says, some say the world, wind, and fire, some say an ice. From what I've tasted of desire, his desire for a woman, perhaps, I hold with those who favor fire. So maybe he's saying, in the world you either die with someone or without someone. With someone would be the fire, without someone would be the ice. You're cold with the fire, you are hot with desire. He says, I hold with those who favor fire. So he holds with those who wish to die with someone. But if he had to perish again, I think he's saying, if he could go over and do both, I think he's saying that he would also like to see what it would be like to die without someone. To know the feeling that dying alone holds.
That's interesting. And following that, he, you know, at the end, he says it's also is also great and would suffice. So, do you think he's somehow saying that the end it doesn't really, like, for example, it doesn't matter how you die; it's just death in itself.
Perhaps in the end, we all die alone.
Exactly.
So, if we all die alone in the end, then what does it matter who dies, quote unquote, with us? It doesn't really matter because we're all going to die alone. You have to travel the journey of death by yourself. You cannot take along friends or parents or lovers or haters or even fire or ice. The journey of death is one you must undertake alone.
Exactly. And it's interesting because, you know, even though he's talking about the end of the world, when the world eventually does end, we all still die our individual death.
Die. Yes, I agree. For instance, if one person dies by police brutality, okay, let's say a Caucasian man is in his car, gets pulled over, reaches for, say, a pick for his hair. Police thinks it's a gun and shoots him to death while he's in his car next to his wife with his toddler in the backseat watching.
I think I saw a movie about that once.
Yes, I agree, but I'm almost positive it was an African-American man that was shot.
Oh, I concur.
But, and then you have another man, a Latino-Hispanic man, that is shall we say, working on Wall Street, leans on his window, and someone forgot to glue the pane in well, and he falls to his death tragically in the streets of New York. Those deaths are very different. But they have, but both of them have one thing in common. They are both death. And you can't go away from death. You must travel your death journey alone. As that man was laying there bleeding out in front of his wife and toddler, that was his own journey. No one else can feel what he feels. No one else can have the same mindset he has. Silencio! No one else can have the same mindset he has whilst being shot to death by the police officer. This man has to travel that alone, and I think that's really what this poem is trying to say. It doesn't matter how the world ends. It's going to end. Doesn't matter how. Death is death, no matter how you put it. So, there is honestly, I mean, there is no particular way you can prefer to die. You're going to die.
Yes, because it's not like, I mean, in very rare circumstances, like suicide, you don't choose your own death.
Right.
It just comes for you.
Correct.
Because, you know, he says, but if it had to perish twice, well, it doesn't. You don't perish twice.
No, you don't. You die once.
Exactly. Except in that James Bond film, You Only Live Twice.
Never seen it.
Me either. I just know the title, honestly.
Oh, well, nice. So, another analogy to this might be, well, no, I've already used that analogy. I can't use it again.
I was kind of thinking, so, you know, we've talked about modernism before.
Correct.
On this podcast that we've just started.
Correct.
And
we've started it now.
Yes, exactly,
now.
Exactly. And it was exemplified by something that it broke down traditional forms, and it was very imagist, and it was very descriptive, and like it broke form a lot. Like you see a lot of free verse modernist poems, because those poets were trying to kind of break out and free up, you know. But it's interesting because it's almost like this poem, it has some of those characteristics of a modernist poem, but it doesn't seem like it's completely modernist, because it has the vivid imagery of, right, you know, the fire, the ice, the world ending, connecting it with desire, hatred, but it maintains the rhyme structure and the,
correct, I saw that,
the rigid formation that you don't see in a lot of pure modernist poems, and it's very easy to follow. It's just, I mean, desire, fire, and it's simple, really. And it's almost interesting because, you know, the poem is talking about the world coming to some sort of end, which I assume would be chaotic or destructive, but the poem itself, its structure is very formulaic.
Mm. Yes. I saw that as well. Whilst reading this poem, I questioned myself as to my thinking that this might not be a modernist poem. But upon further looking, I would say it is, because I agree. I think this definitely challenges the classical and traditional forms. I enjoy this poem, actually. As I do with lots of modern poems, I am one that is not for conformism. I'm not a fan.
Yes.
Of conforming to things. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm a rebel or an anarchist, but conformity is not okay.
Yes.
Everyone is individual and everyone was made individually, just like everyone dies individually. No two deaths are the same. There are different circumstances. Now, of course, you have heart attacks,
mm-hmm,
but and things like that, medical nature, but no two people have ever thought the same whilst being dead.
Exactly. I think.
I mean, they would never be able to converse with each other.
Correct.
And, you know, kind of share their thoughts. Or they might. Unless there is some sort of afterlife.
Right, right.
Right.
But we will be on a level playing field. We won't show bias towards religion or...
Exactly, or anything. Yes, yes.
We'll speak as if we have no knowledge of afterlife or our own belief about the afterlife.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
So I would say if after you die, that's it. You just die. You stop existing. I'd say that there wouldn't be a way to communicate, honestly. I mean, clearly, if you cease to exist, you cannot communicate, so...
Exactly.
And I've lost my train of thought.
Don't worry. We will board the next train at the next station of thought.
Platform 9 3/4 taking off now. Yes.
Hogwarts, here we come.
Oh, yes, the Wizarding World.
Jolly good.
Jolly, jolly.
Oh, I see something. If you peruse the poem again.
Perusing, I shall.
It's almost like... it's almost like the poem is presenting... a black and white fallacy.
Oh, racism, I like it.
Well, it's interesting because it's about dichotomy, you know. It's comparing two different things. You know, we've been talking about the collective death versus the individual death.
Mm.
Fire versus ice. Passion versus hatred.
Yes.
Yes. But you know, they say some say the world will end in fire, some say in ice. But, I mean, there are so many other ways the world could end. I mean, who's to say that the world just doesn't implode on itself?
That
I mean,
would end in fire.
Yes, but okay, what about an earthquake? That's not fire or ice.
That would end in everyone dying.
Aww. Exactly. So it's presenting the end of the world as either fire or ice, but it's a logical fallacy because there are so many other ways the world
could end. Really. Correct.
So, I mean, Frost, I assume, presents this dichotomy just for the style, really, because it seems like the poem is trying to present dichotomy. So even though logically it's sort of fallacious, the intent of the poem still maintains its solidity.
I would agree that the use of the dichotomy, a division or contrast between two things that are or are represented as being opposed or entirely different, is used very well in this poem because fire and ice are two different things. And honestly, choosing between the two it's even. They're to be so different, they're the same thing, honestly. Both is a True. Brutal death.
Oh, yes.
Both would be terrible. You're pretty much... saying, would you want your insides to be burned and melt, or would you want them to slowly freeze while you suffer? It's like comparing apples to oranges.
Yes. If those apples and oranges were actually filled with nails, and when you bit into them, they exploded.
Yes, and they were laced with lemon juice.
Lemon juice.
And salt.
Bloody hell.
Salt of the earth. Just biting into a claymore.
Regular viewers of our podcast will know that we abhor fruits of any kind.
Fruits of the devil.
Honestly.
Yes.
Disgusting.
Shameful, even.
Yes.
Always been a vegetable guy myself.
Truly, honestly. Truly. Do you like your vegetables roasted or iced?
Do I like them roasted or iced?
Yes.
Does the name William of Ockham mean anything to you?
Ah, my boy. Yes. Ah.
Only our listener. Our one listener. The only listener that will ever listen to this in the history of listening to our listeners will understand what I am talking about, because even I do not know what I am talking about.
Amen, brother.
I do not know who a William or an Ockham, let alone a William of Ockham. So, back to the poem. I've said I like it way too many times. This poem, it's rather cruel, honestly, if you think about it and you look at it enough, look at all the words, and they stop jumbling up because you have dyslexia. If you just stare at them. If you just stare at them. So if you look at them and they unjumble, then it's cruel. Honestly, you're giving someone two choices, to melt or to freeze, and that is horribly cruel.
And that is interesting that you say that, because I was just thinking, we're talking about dichotomy, and then you mentioned choice.
Choice, yes.
So when somebody offers you a choice, you use the conjunction or, right? Do you want paper or plastic?
Correct.
Chicken or beef? Words, really. Words in an order that makes sense, that is also a choice.
Right.
That completes this analogy that I'm trying to make.
Correct. The chair or the needle?
Exactly. Yes. Obviously, I don't know what came over me. Anyways, so we're talking about the poem and dichotomy and choice, and it is offering the choice, as we've discussed, but the title says fire and ice.
Mm.
It's almost as if, you know, some say the world will end in fire, some say in ice. What if it ends in both?
Mm.
And that just flies in the face of everything we've gone over so far.
Mm. So what you're saying is this isn't giving us a choice at all. Rather telling us what will happen.
Exactly. Almost the illusion of choice, really. The illusion of choice.
So, in the end, we never really have a choice.
Exactly.
In the end, death is irrelevant. I mean, not irrelevant. What's the word? I can't think of the bloody word. Inescapable.
Inescapable. Yes!
By
not
George.
Able to escape.
Inescapable.
Amen.
Inescapable. You can't escape it. It's always there, and our lives are just our journey to another journey. This is like the road trip to Disney World. Our lives are like the road trip to Disney World. It takes roughly, what, 5-6 hours to get to...
Give or take, from our secluded studio.
Humble abode.
Yes,
at an undisclosed location in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle.
I mean, how...
Beneath
how,
the sunken remains.
How irresponsible would it be if we gave up our studio's location on live television?
Right.
Fidelia, Georgia.
We're coming for you, Nicholas. We're coming for you, and you can't run. You can't hide from us. We will end you.
Yes, but...
Oh, that was weird. There was a bit of an audio miscue there. That's odd.
Oh, there was a mouse. Got him! Anyways, but at the end of our lives as we know it are just journeys to death, if you think about it. Our lives are nothing but point A, birth, to point B, death.
And point B is Disneyland.
Correct, in this analogy. And from point B, you go to point C, which is the enjoyment you have at Disney World. Now, I'm not saying death will be enjoyable. I don't know what happens after death.
Yes.
I've never died before. As you can tell, because I'm talking to you from our undisclosed studio location in the middle of Bermuda.
Do we even have, you know, the ability to talk about this? We've never experienced it.
I'm surprised we haven't been swatted yet.
Honestly.
We're probably on a watch list. But life is nothing but point A to point B. It's the road trip to Disneyland. So... what you do during the road trip has nothing to do with you getting there. It does nothing. You could play tic-tac-toe the entire way there to Disney World, and it will still take the exact same amount of time. There's nothing you can do in life to stop you, the end of your destination. Now, there could be traffic jams. Or you could get in a car accident.
Exactly.
On the way there.
You know, and that analogy works perfectly here, I think. Because, you know, we're talking, you know, death is inevitable. And if you think about it, you know, it's talking about dichotomy and how there are different endings, but it's really the same result. And if you think about it logically, that makes sense because, you know, we already covered, you know, we don't get to choose the way you die. And, you know, even though, I mean, we could start from our secluded studio in the Bermuda Triangle.
Bermuda,
but,
yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. I mean, and we could take a boat, we could take a plane, we
yes.
could take a water car.
Water car,
we could,
those
I mean,
are real.
Yes, I mean, we could go up the East Coast, the West Coast.
The North, South,
the North,
West,
South,
East, Northern Coast.
The West Coast, yes. I mean, we could take any route we wanted to, but
anyone?
in the end, no matter what route we take on our journey, we will always end up at our destination.
Correct.
Disney World.
Correct.
Disney World.
Death equals Disney World.
Yes.
Children, if you want to go to Disney World, die.
Yes. That is what we are telling everybody on this podcast.
You can quote me on that.
Yes.
But life, I've said this several times already, I feel like I'm a broken record. Life is nothing but your journey from point A to point B, from birth to death. What you do along the way doesn't matter in the end because you're going to be at Disney World. Nobody cares. You've got to forget what you did on the way there. Unless something horrible happened and you got shanked or something.
Honestly,
but,
I mean...
But nothing will change what you think about once you get to Disney World. You will forget all about the car ride.
I mean,
but you will always have Disney World. Now, what happens once you get to Disney World? Nobody knows, because you could go to the Tilty World. Or you could go get Mickey Mouse's autograph.
Or you could go on Space Mountain. And Space Mountain's dark. You don't know what's going on.
Exactly. You don't know what you're going to do once you get to point B. It's like if a dog is chasing a car. What happens when he gets the car? You don't know. Once you have that, what are you going to do with it, dog? Are you going to eat it? No, you can't
eat it. You can't
eat
a car.
Break your teeth. I've tried. My mum tried. And that's why she doesn't have any chompers. That's why she drinks steak through a straw. I mean,
it's a bloody shame.
If you think about life, it's simple. No matter what happens, no matter what mistakes you make during your life, your pathetic little life will always end in you dying.
Yes. And ultimately, that is the goal. And when death comes, you know, in the great scheme of the universe, you know, it's almost futile. Like, for example, if I ask one of my 7 children, you know,
yes,
what...
Yes, Papa?
Yes, hello, Johnny. This is Johnny. Say hello to the podcast.
Привет! I am a Papa podcast.
Yes.
Привет!
Good job, Johnny.
Thank
so,
you,
Johnny,
Papa.
Johnny, what was your favorite part about our Disney World trip, the car ride?
No, Papa, we walked because we did not have a car.
Yes, and did you find, like, the journey enjoyable?
No. I had blisters for years.
Yes. Thank you, Johnny. Go back to your cellar.
No! Oh, no! No!
What a great kid you have.
Yes. He's a light of my life, honestly. But that, I mean, that's my point. You know, when I ask my children, I mean, when I pull them out of the cellar to talk to them.
Of course.
Yes. You know, I ask them, you know, what was your favorite part about our trip to Disney World? None of them are like, oh, the car ride, Father. Please give me some more soup. And then I'm like, no, go back in your cellar. You don't get soup.
Aren't we all?
Exactly. And the point I'm trying to make here is that, you know, just like life, you know, the journey ultimately doesn't matter. No one remembers the car ride. Ultimately, it's the Disney World.
Correct.
It's the Disney World.
The end of your journey. It's not... There's always going to be another mountain.
Space
You're
mountain.
Always going to want to make it move. It's always going to be an uphill battle. Sometimes you're going to have to lose. It's not about how fast you get there. It's not about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb.
I think you could be the next Robert Frost.
I think I just plagiarized Miley Cyrus.
Who's that?
Hannah Montana.
Who? All I know is about modernist poetry.
Oh, touche.
Well, you know, as we come to the end of our podcast, you know, I hope that our many, many listeners have...
Nicholas, we're coming for you. We're going to get you. We're going to kill you and your family and strangle all your cats.
Yes, that is correct. So, thank you, everybody, for listening. And remember, Fire and Ice by Robert Frost represents the dichotomy of the world, but also represents the inevitability of death, and that death is Disney World. Now, with the 20 seconds we have left before we fulfill the time requirements for this assignment, correct, do you have anything else to say to our dear listeners?
Well, dear listener, perhaps S, if anyone wants to waste 30 minutes of their pathetic lives to hear our podcast, which I feel sure we will make more of just for fun, because why not? I would say, have a great day. Yeah. Enjoy your life. Enjoy everything about it. Your happiness, your wife, your kids, your animals, your car ride, students, teachers. Enjoy it all, because in the end, it doesn't matter. Honestly. Nothing matters. Yeah. Nothing you care about matters, because none of it will go with you to the afterlife.
Yes.
Nothing.
Yes.
Nothing at all. Because in the end, you die alone. You have no friends to help you through death. You die. You take the journey alone. The car ride doesn't matter. It's all about Disney World.
Exactly. Hail Mickey Mouse. This podcast is sponsored by Disney and is in no way affiliated with Walt Disney, Heil Disney, and we love Disney. Thank you. All right.
Are fools, and I'm the one who gets away with murder after all these years.